Welcome to Knowles Abroad, a podcast by Florida State University International Programs. I'm Vanessa.
And I'm Zoe. And we're your hosts. On this podcast, we'll talk about study abroad from the perspective of the students, faculty, staff, and alumni who make it an experience worth sharing. We'll also bring you travel tips and fun facts from around the globe.
Today, we talk with Gabby Newton, an FSU student and IP ambassador who studied abroad in Florence, Italy. Gabby shares her experience as a STEM major studying abroad, her favorite places she visited, and what it was like being a woman of color in Italy. She also has some great advice for students. Let's go to our conversation with Gabby now. Hey Gabby, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me here. I'm so excited.
We are both super excited that you're here with us today. Before we get started, would you introduce yourself to our listeners, like what you study, where you studied abroad, and your major?
Yeah, of course. Okay, so I am a third-year biology student, and I had the pleasure of studying in Florence, Italy this past summer, or as the Italians call it, Firenze.
Awesome. Love that. So you're studying biology, which is really cool. We don't have like a ton of STEM majors that study abroad, so we just want to talk about that a little bit. And we know that biology can lead to like a lot of different career paths. So what do you want to do with your degree specifically?
Well, I want to be a dentist. I want to be actually an implantologist. So I want to deal with like surgery and having to put implants into patients. So that's something I took a pretty great passion into.
Awesome. Have you always wanted to do that?
Oh, yeah. Ever since I was like 5 years old, if you see like in my old memory box, there's like little like booklets of like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And it's like a dentist. So I just knew like ever since I was like 5 years old, like that's something that I wanted to do.
Oh, that's so awesome. I love that.
I know. I always think it's really cool when people know exactly what they want to do. I've never had that myself. So to know that you knew from the age of five, that's pretty crazy.
I know, crazy, right? Like 5 years old, you're like, yes, I want to be a dentist. And like, who thinks about like wanted to be a dentist at like 5 years old? Not like a princess or like a rock star. No, a doctor.
Exactly. Or like the typical, oh, I want to be just like my teacher, you know?
Yeah.
So being that you are a STEM major, what advice do you have for other STEM majors who are interested in studying abroad?
I would tell them, do it. Like, even if you don't think that the classes you're going to take are going to relate to STEM, that is okay. Take a break. Do something else. Do an art class. That's what I did. I took actually like history of Italy and learning about architecture. Art and architecture. That's actually the class I took. So do it. It doesn't have to be a STEM class. It can always be something that you're honestly just into.
That's a really good point. I feel like we always get so many STEM majors asking us, what class can I take abroad that applies to my major so that I stay on track? But good advice for, you know, people to just have fun with it.
Yeah, definitely. Did you always know that you wanted to study abroad?
Oh, yeah. It was quite impulsive of me to do it. I know that I woke up one day and was like, I'm going to study abroad. Like, I always knew I wanted to, but I did not know when. So I woke up, like, I want to say last year, like on a October day, and I was like, I'm gonna sign up for study abroad, and then I did. Yeah,
that's awesome. So you always knew that you wanted to do it, but the decision to go when you did was kind of spontaneous.
Yes, initially I was supposed to go to London because I wanted to do like the whole STEM biology program. However, unfortunately, I know COVID was very prominent in London, so they actually canceled my biology program twice. I did the biology one, and then I applied for disease and some other classes, and they also canceled that one as well. So I was like, man, I still want to study abroad. What can I do? So I was searching and I was searching, and I realized I was missing a gen ed class. So I said, perfect. Now, where should I go? Italy or Spain? Now, that was a bit tricky for me because I actually wanted to go to Spain initially, but I already know the Spanish language, or at least I know like 75% of it. So I was like, you know what? Let me stick to Italy. It's a new country for me. I don't know the language. I don't know the culture as much. I just heard from like he and they, but I really didn't know what it was about. So I found that Italy was just drawn to me, and I took advantage of it and I went for Florence.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, love that. We hear, like, I think it's so interesting to hear about how students pick their location because there's so many different reasons and factors that go into it. And I love that you were just like, yep, I'm doing Florence. And that's really cool.
What were some of your favorite places that you visited while you were in Italy?
Oh, there's so many. But if I had to choose, it's in between two places. It's Positano or the Amalfi Coast and Cinque Terre. Oh my goodness. I'm such a beach person, even though I am an earth sign, go Taurus. I love the water. So Cinque Terre is a beautiful little town. It has five little territories. I went to at least 3 out of 5 of them. And then Positano just blew like my mind. Like you get off the little ferry boat and it's a Hallmark card. It's so pretty. Like, yeah.
How would you describe like the visuals of that place when, like you said, you pulled up and it was like a postcard? How would you tell someone that what it looked like?
Okay. So you get off the ferry, right? And like, actually not even, when you're actually on the ferry, all you see is like mountains and like rocks and hills and houses on the hills. And I was just like, well, it reminds me kind of like home. I'm half Puerto Rican, so every time I go to Puerto Rico, like it's kind of like the same visual effect for me. So it just gave me like a nostalgic feeling. If anything, that's where it was. So I think that's the reason why I loved Cinque Terre and Positano, because they both had the same, architect, if that's what one would call it.
I think like what's most striking, like when I see that the Amalfi Coast is like how much color there is.
Yes, yes.
So, yeah.
On the water, so blue. Mm-hmm, oh my goodness.
I love that you're talking about like how it was nostalgic for you too. I think that, you know, students have talked about that before when we've talked to them. And I just think it's a really interesting concept that somewhere that you've never been can be nostalgic. Like it just kind of goes to show that like the world, you know, like the more we see of the world, the more we learn about it, but also the more that we can see ourselves in other cultures and like make that connection. So shifting a little bit, can you talk about your experience as a woman of color in Italy? We get a lot of questions about that.
Yeah, of course. I know that for many people, it might be scary because, you know, there is racism everywhere and you kind of just have to just, you don't have to deal with it always, but I know that it's very tough for people. I really did not care, not in a negative way, but like more in a positive way. Like I did not let it affect me. Like I know I had a lot of catcalls. Like, yes, it's very prominent in Italy. Like that's like a part of their culture, even though I find it very weird. But that's just what it is. And a lot of people assume that I was African. And yes, I have African descent because, you know, history, slavery. But it just came to a point where it's more annoying than anything. And then they would use it to like sexualize me. And that's not okay. But again, I just really did not care. You just have to like ignore it at this point. But I wouldn't want that to discourage someone of color from going, because you shouldn't let just, and mainly men, the women don't do this, you should not let like a stranger just affect your experience. So there's one. And then the second experience that I had was my hair. I love my hair. I take big pride in my hair. So initially while going to this trip, I took a lot of hair products with me, at least assuming that I would last the 6 weeks while I was there. Funny enough, I only lasted halfway. So I was scourging throughout Florence trying to find hair products that would suit me. Mm-hmm. I know. And I found a couple. It was a bit weird because, again, I don't speak the language. So I had to Google search everything. But I found it. And it worked for the remainder of the 3 weeks that I had. Now, was it the same as back home? No. But it served its purpose. And then lastly, like the makeup. Like I didn't bring enough makeup either, or at least I wanted to try new makeup. And they did not have, you know, makeup for people like my skin, you know, of the more darker mid-tone. So it's kind of sad to see that they did not, you know, appeal for those types of people, because there's not a lot of black or even, yeah, just black people in Italy, which is sad, but that's just how the world works. So I understand why they wouldn't have a lot, but it's still sad to see that like the little fraction that you have, you're not going to appeal to them either. But again, don't let it discourage you. Go to Italy, have fun, do what you have to do.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that experience.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, thank you so much. I think, and you just have like a really mature perspective on it. So thank you so much. We know that you were an IP Airfare scholarship winner. Would you explain how that works for students listening who might want to enter?
Yeah, of course. So as far as I remember, they had a post saying this is an Airfare scholarship. If you are going or have been admitted into study abroad, like, here's a scholarship. Do what you like, do as you please. And then you only had like, I think like if you got accepted or if you got the scholarship, you had like a certain amount of years to use it or something like that. So I was like, you know, why not? Let me just go for it. So I put in like, I'm going to London, and I put like these emojis, like these London emojis, because at first I was going to London. So I put like the British flag and then like blue and red heart emojis and so on. And then weeks go by, or a week or so go by, and I got a notification from IP, and it's like, congratulations, you won. And I was like, what? Like, this has to be a dream. There's no way. Because I've seen these so many times from like other like posts, and I never win. So I was like, nah, no way. And then I realized like, oh my God, I actually won. So yeah, it was pretty cool to see. So I would never discourage anyone from doing it. Even if you don't think you're going to like win, do it. Why not?
I'm glad that we have you on here, that you can attest that it is a real thing and you can get money for your airfare.
Yeah, I've even had friends who are like, Gabby, that's so cool. And they were also going to study abroad. They're like, maybe I should do it. I was like, wow, why haven't you guys done it? Like, come on now.
Yeah, absolutely. And we do them a couple times a year. So there's definitely like opportunities to enter and do it. Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so next we want to just talk about your experience as an IP ambassador. So what made you want to apply to be an IP ambassador, and what's your favorite part of the job?
Okay, so I wanted to be an IP ambassador because I feel that after studying abroad, it became my personality. Like, all I do is talk about studying abroad. And I feel like rather than just talk about it, why not just work for it and show others that, you know, this is what I did. You can do it too. You can have the same experience or even an even better experience. So I feel like I needed to be an IP ambassador for that reason. And my favorite part of the job is really talking to people. When people come up to me, like during Market Wednesdays or even at a tabling event, they're like, hey, like, where did you go? And I'm always like, I went to Italy. And I always tell them like my backstory and how much fun I had. And I feel like that is another reason why I want to be an ambassador, just having to like show these people like that I'm not working just to work. Like, I'm working because I'm having so much fun talking to you guys about like my experience, and I want you guys to share that experience with me.
Oh, love that.
All right. So this last question is something that we ask everyone that comes on the podcast, and it is, what advice do you have for students who are considering studying abroad?
One thing I will say that I know it's scary, and I know that it is a big financial burden, but do not worry. Again, IP has a lot of like scholarships that will help out with that. And it's a once in a lifetime opportunity. So you only live once. You don't want to look back and be like, man, I wish I studied abroad. Especially me, because I know that once I get to dental school, it's going to be very constricting to like pretty much travel a lot. So I thought like, why not do it now in college? And I was really like a sophomore. So I was like, it's either now or never, you know? So that is one advice I have to give to people. Just do it. Not just for studying abroad, just for anything in life. Just do it, because you just never know what's going to happen. You might make the best of friends, or you might just learn something along the way. You know, it's just do it and don't have any regrets. Just live your life.
Oh, love that. What a great life lesson, not only for study abroad, like you said, but really just for everything in life, to just go for it and put yourself out there and have new experiences. Well, Gabby, thank you so much for talking with us today and for being on the podcast. We absolutely loved hearing from you and hearing a bit about your story.
Of course, of course. I'm glad I'm here to share my experience.
Thank you. I feel like I'm leaving this feeling really inspired by your ability to feel empowered by your experience and rise up from any adversity that you experience. So thank you again for sharing that.
Yeah, of course, no problem.
Thank you.
Before we disembark, we want to talk about IP's diversity and inclusion resources. We want students from all different backgrounds to know that we are here to support them through their experience of studying abroad. IP has a diversity and inclusion team that focuses on promoting respect, embracing differences, and encouraging self-reflection.
IP has a guide for students called Mapping Your Identities. From first generation to LGBTQIA+, to race and ethnicity, to religion and more, the guide offers self-reflection questions and ideas for when you're abroad. We also have resources on our website under the Diversity and Inclusion menu tab, including more stories from students sharing their experiences. You can also email our Diversity and Inclusion team at ip-diversity@fsu.edu.
Thanks to Gabby for talking with us today, and thanks to all of you for listening.
This podcast is a production of FSU International Programs. The music for this podcast was composed by John Bartman. Our logo was designed by Vanessa Gure, who also does our sound engineering. Editing, transcription, and research is done by us, Zoe Crook and Vanessa Gure.